We are back on a Friday. Freedom Works, we thank you very much for joining us and delighted to have Lucas Rentschler join us. He is an assistant professor in the Department of Economics and Finance at Utah State University. He's also a member of their Center for Growth there. And he has put together a piece that you can find on the website, Social Media, Misinformation, and Voting Decisions. Now, they've had a get-together before a House committee of the three top platform, Facebook, Google, and Twitter. They had those three guys on. And Lucas, welcome to Freedom Works. What do you think of their performance before that committee?
Well, first, thanks so much for having me.
Our pleasure. Our pleasure.
The appearance before the committee was engaging and interesting, more or less what you'd expect. One of the things I thought was most interesting was this idea that there might be a tension between sort of the profitability of, right, the bottom line of social media platforms and measures of user engagement, because that actually speaks directly to the research project that we've just finished, right? In our data, what we actually find is that if misinformation is allowed to run unchecked on a social media platform in our experiment, user engagement actually declines, both by the number of posts that get shared, number of posts that are posted on the platform, and how many people are following others. So it may be in the interest of these platforms to actually look at doing whatever they can to eliminate misinformation on there.
That's very interesting. So you are saying the more misinformation, the fewer the followers.
So that's what our data suggests.
Wow.
We would expect user engagement, which obviously social media platforms care a lot about, mm-hmm. actually decline if misinformation is allowed on the...
Yeah, you go into quite a detail about all of that. I found it very, very interesting. Did you watch any of that House committee questioning of those three guys yesterday?
I did, although I have to admit I didn't watch the entire thing. It was some good political theater with some nice sort of productive discussion happening at different intervals.
Are they taking any responsibility, those three CEOs, for what's going on? For instance, do they deserve to be blamed in any way for the rioting at the Capitol on January the 6th because of any misinformation that might have been on their platforms? Or are they to be blamed for any kind of voter trouble, voter fraud, whatever you want to call it, during the election because they would allow certain things, et cetera? What is your feeling overall about their impact on things like that?
Well, the misinformation that gets shared on platforms and how that gets linked to behavior off platforms is an incredibly important topic, and we need more research in that area. Frankly, we just don't know enough. My research focuses on a much narrower question, right? So we're looking in a laboratory environment where we're able to definitively state what's misinformation and not. So we sort of skirt around some of the difficulties of real world research in this area, and then are able to definitively state what the causal effect of misinformation is.
Okay.
But I'm very interested in trying to link sort of what happens on platforms and what when there's misinformation on platforms and what happens out external to the platform, but my research can't really speak to that in any meaningful way.
It would be hard, wouldn't it? I mean, we just don't know how people will react and what makes them react, right? I mean...
Well, it's extremely complex.
Yeah, I mean, we've got so many things going on in our heads to begin with. So if you read something online, and maybe for a moment it gets you a little bit upset or whatever, but then, I mean, how does that... You don't know what amount of that is going to influence somebody to get up and want to go and demonstrate or, you know, whatever else. I mean, there's a lot of other things going on in the mind of a person. So I don't know if you could ever do it. You know, could you really measure it, you know? Could you really measure response to misinformation?
and the type of data that you would need to have on people would be pretty extensive, and you know, you might worry about privacy concerns of collecting that data. But
right.
looking at people's right online behavior and then matching that with offline behavior could be done. I think it would be pretty expensive, and there'd be some a lot of logistical hurdles that you'd have to overcome. But I mean, it's such an important question that I hope to see research, and I'd certainly like to be involved in that kind of research if at all possible.
Right. So we're talking, by the way, with Lucas Rentschler. He is an assistant professor at the Utah State University. He specializes in economics and finance. He's got a piece going called Social Media Misinformation and Voting Decisions. And he co-authored that. And it's very extensive. And one of the questions, Lucas, that I remember, and I didn't watch that particular House goings-on, except I saw a question being asked by one of the House members about how much do you think you bear any responsibility for what has taken place when it came to the attack on January the 6th? And he asked each one of them, and I think only the guy, I can't remember, maybe it was the guy from
Dorsey.
From Google that said, yes, we do. I mean, the other two kind of deflected the question, right?
That's my understanding. And I mean, it's when you're before, you can certainly see the incentives that they're faced with. I mean, what maybe we should be caring about is, you know, getting a good measure of what negative effects misinformation is going to have and how we can effectively combat that.
Right.
And whether or not quizzing the CEOs or sort of giving them yes/no questions will help us do that is I'm not sure.
Yeah.
You know, it's important to say that, you know, we do know that eliminating misinformation on social media is going to make us better off, and right, worrying about misinformation and doing something concrete about it is something that's important to do. And we find basically that voting outcomes, meaning the percentage of time that groups vote for sort of the best policy, actually goes down when misinformation is allowed, and actually is, you know, is as if there was no social media at all, or social media in the absence of misinformation, we actually see this pretty substantial gain.
So it's a demotivator. Misinformation on these platforms might be a demotivator for people, huh?
Yeah. So, I mean, well, demotivator in the sense that they become less engaged, but also, right, they're seeing it. If they're trying to form accurate beliefs about how they maybe should vote, so in our experiment, we're looking at a voting decision. Right there, they can acquire information on their own, or maybe they're going on social media and getting information.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're trying to then, let's say, you know, compile all that information and, you know, decide how best to vote, the presence of that misinformation can really.
But here's the thing: I don't see how you can keep
decision making.
Yeah, excuse me. I don't see how you can keep misinformation off these platforms. I mean, these vehicles are supposed to be an outlet for people to express their views, and that's a free speech issue. Now, all of a sudden, they intercede, they being these platforms, and say, well, I'm seeing certain things that are being said and being picked up by other people that are not true, in my opinion. So, therefore, I'm going to intercede on this. I'm going to intercede, and now we're going to be the thought or speech police. And this is where I think these guys are running into trouble. Your thought?
Well, so that word opinion is really important, right? Because, and that's part of the problem with effective content moderation and even research into misinformation and content moderation, is that getting agreement on what actually is misinformation is extremely difficult to do, right? What I call misinformation, somebody else might call the fact.
Correct.
And so that's actually the benefit of the type of research that I'm doing, is that we abstract from that extremely important debate and focus on areas where we do have this objective measure so we can get a I mean, a clean assessment. And then on your point of, like, just the practicalities of, right, how do you moderate information and content on social media, right, that's actually the next paper that I've got coming out.
Oh, good.
And then within this laboratory environment, start assessing different content moderation policies and what works. Because, sure, you know, you don't, there's that trade-off. If you become too restrictive, you are potentially going to be taking down content which might be helpful to people. And if you are too lenient, then you would get enough misinformation that it can degrade the quality of decision-making.
Sure.
So what policies work is a big open question that I'm...
I mean, I'm fascinated. First of all, this has got to be awfully tough work. You got to really love what you're doing. But are there any nuggets, any other nuggets besides the maybe demotivation thing you talked about? Any other nuggets you picked up so far from this?
Yeah, absolutely, right? So, I mean, what we essentially find is that if you have social media without misinformation, is that everybody's better off. Right? The quality of group decision-making goes up, and actually we see voters becoming more individually informed, right? Not just from the information they see on social media, but they go out of their way to become more informed and to acquire costly information. But once we allow that misinformation, right, we still see that voters are getting more informed, but the effect of the misinformation is that it degrades and kind of wipes out all the gains of social media. So it really highlights the need to tackle this problem, and it's a difficult and thorny problem. Because there's gains, social gains to social media that we want to realize, and effective content moderation is an important tool in doing that.
Uh-huh.
And I guess the last thing, which I already mentioned but is worth reinforcing, is that it's in the interest of social media platforms to be moderating misinformation, because you will see disengagement of users, and that's not good for their bottom line.
So they need to be monitoring.
They need... Social media has a vested interest in curbing misinformation on their platform.
Okay, so what you're saying is...
We need more research on figuring out exactly what that misinformation is. I can't speak to that directly.
No, but you kind of are inferring that the social media platforms need to be the hall monitors. They need to be supervising with the content. They need... It should not be a hands-off thing if the reading public is to be engaged, or to be more engaged, or to continue to be engaged. Would that be a fair statement?
The research paper can't speak to the actual mechanisms, meaning should it be the platforms themselves. In a subsequent paper, we actually show, and actually in two subsequent papers, we show users themselves are willing to, right, pay for fact-checking and to avoid misinformation. And this could be something that's relevant, right? So it's not clear that we need some... a third party stepping in, or with the platforms themselves, right? We need more research to figure out what mechanisms are going to be best suited to curb that. But
yeah,
what we found in our subsequent research is that, you know, allowing users the ability to provide fact-checking misinformation is a productive way of curbing misinformation and flagging what misinformation is posted.
Gotcha.
But I'll have more to say on that when this next paper is.
I have one final question, Lucas. When you go to bed at night, are all of these thoughts keeping you awake, or are you able to sleep?
I'm definitely able to sleep. Although there's always concerns, with social media and letting your letting your kids on there, and all the problems with the platforms.
I'm just thinking all of these hypotheticals that are going on, in your mind. I'm just wondering if that. Is a tonic for insomnia.
The marquee thing is if we can do something about misinformation, social media can be a source for good.
So yes, indeed.
There's a lot of value that can be created there.
Well, keep up the good fight. And I thank you so very much for joining us. I would look forward to talking with you when you've advanced further in your research.
I look forward to it. Thanks so much for having me.
Okay.